In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Blessed feast, both of the Ascension and the Fathers of the First Ecumenical Council. And we live in this very interesting time, in an age of information overload. Sometimes it's like drinking water from a fire hose. Or perhaps a better, more apt analogy is like going to a buffet with all of this food spread out before you and not knowing which foods to pick. So you take a little bit of everything. And some things may taste really good, so you go back for seconds, only to regret it later. We have so many choices in what TV or YouTube videos to watch, what books to read, what podcasts to listen to, what news to pay attention to. There are even a multitude of Orthodox priests who have blogs or podcasts or YouTube channels or whatever. And some of them are very good, and some of them are not so good. And so with all of these choices, all too often we wade into them without discernment, without guidance, and without accountability as to which is the good for our salvation and which is merely something that makes us feel good. And this is a very similar situation now to the Christian landscape in the 4th century. There was a very, very popular priest by the name of Arius. Very charismatic. And if he lived today, he certainly, definitely would have a YouTube channel, a TikTok presence. He'd be out there. He'd be everywhere. Now, the problem with Arius is that he invented several theological novelties. He thought rationally and said, well, this makes sense to me, therefore it must be true. And some of those included that God was not always a father, that there was a when the Son was not. There was a time when the Son was not. And if the Son, you can't be a father without a Son, and so if there's a time when the Son didn't exist, then there's a time that the Father wasn't actually the Father. He also taught that the Son was not the same substance of the Father, but was kind of an intermediate creation. That the Son cannot see the Father or know his essence in truth. So Arius creates a Son of God who is between God and creation, a creature but not like us creatures, and God, but not like God the Father. He's something else. This is what Arius taught. And this is very, very much not scriptural. Now, Arian Christianity, even though Arius had been excommunicated, became the dominant form of Christianity in the 3rd century. This is an example of the fact that being popular does not always mean you're right. And so the first ecumenical council was called in Nicaea in 325. And there were 318 participants representing churches, as our hymns say, from all the inhabited world. from Western Europe, Eastern Europe, the Middle East, North Africa, all of the known world, meaning the Roman Empire at the time, these churches sent people all together to gather in Nicaea. Among them was St. Athanasius the Great, St. Nicholas of Myra, and St. Spyridon of Tomithos. And these 318 holy fathers clarified and corrected the Orthodox Christian faith over and against Arianism. That we believe in the Son as true God from true God, meaning, if I take a candle and light it from this flame, that the flame of this candle and that candle that I lit it from are the same stuff, right? True God from true God. That the Son was begotten from the Father, but not made, not a creation, but a begetting. What does that look like? Only God knows. But you can't be both. You can be begotten, but not created, or you can be created and not begotten, but you cannot be both. And that the Son is consubstantial of one essence with the Father. In fact, this Nicene Creed was the main product of this First Council of Nicaea. Do I have any deacons in the back? Deacon, would you hand me this ring? Forgive me, I forgot to bring it out. The frame. Yes. Thank you. So if you go into the office, the church office, some other time once I put this back, you'll find a framed copy of the Nicene Constantinopolitan Creed with scriptural references. Where did these fathers take these statements from the Bible? So while Arius's understanding of who God is, who Christ is specifically, came from his own thinking, these 318 fathers took their understanding of who God is, and specifically who Christ is, from the scripture and from those fathers that came before them. In today's gospel, we read Jesus' prayer to his Father, which includes these phrases. I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and know in truth that I come from thee. So even Christ himself is proclaiming that I come from you, Father. I am like you. I am one with you. In fact, then he prays further. Holy Father, keep them in thy name, which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Christ himself disagrees with Arius. Now, these 318 holy fathers of the First Ecumenical Council were exercising their bishop's role, although not all of them were bishops. But they were exercising the role of the bishop in rightly dividing the word of truth, preserving and teaching the faith to the faithful. The role of the bishop is to help us know which items at the buffet are healthy and good to eat, and to prevent us from spiritual indigestion. So why do we sometimes feel the need to go outside, to visit some other church, to listen to another pastor or priest online, when, to be honest, few, if any of us, myself included, know the Gospels well enough as we should. So let's start there. Before we go out and try to fill ourselves at the buffet, let's start with the basics. Read the Gospel. Find out how the fathers of the church understood it. And if you still need clarification, ask your priest. Brothers and sisters, we are an incarnational church. A church with local parishes in local communities, like this one, Saints Peter and Paul. We physically come together to worship God. We receive the body and blood of Christ in person. This is something you cannot do through a screen or a speaker or a book. We eat together after the liturgy and we talk face to face. We have priests that are present who know you or at the very least want to know you. Priests who baptize your kids, who hear your confessions, who visit you when you're sick, who talks through your life crises with you, and who prays for you by name. We have priests who have a relationship with the bishop, that bishop that is responsible, and together with the priest, responsible for guiding you in the faith. We are an incarnational church, meaning not only that we believe in God who became man for our sake, but that we also ought to be incarnate, to be present in body in our common worship of God. And this way, absorbing the faith in the church, rather than only at home or not at all. And so I encourage you today, participate in the incarnational church of Christ, and you yourself be incarnate in the community. Feast on the good food of the faith that has been preserved and handed down to us from God through these holy fathers. And come to know the God whom the law proclaims, who the prophets preach, who Christ reveals, who the apostles made known to us, and who the church believes. Glory to God. Amen.